Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Get it.
All I say with this black and gold with Saints hat on.
Not black and gold, man. Not Saints. Not Saints.
Black and gold, Colorado.
Is that your Pistol Pete jersey? Baby.
That's my Pistol Pete New Orleans Jazz jersey.
Yeah. I do have a Pistol Pete for the Atlanta Maverick, like the green with the Atlanta, too. I have that as well, too, man, taking it back. But, yeah, good stuff. Welcome to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Gentlemen, it feels like this year is flying by. It is November the 1st. I hope that you're coming down from that candy high, all that fun stuff. But, again, this is where we are. I know if you're a Josh McDaniels, you're like, what just happened, man? I thought I was safe, but no, I'm not safe. But we'll talk about that within this show, as always. JQ's going to join us a little later, America, so you'll get his voice a little later. But without further ado, we got to check in with everyone that's currently here at this present juncture. Mr. Rob Ford, dare I say, is going to mention something about his dinner. How you feeling this evening?
Doing great, man. I took a little break from asparagus today. But, man, took my team out to a nice lunch today, man, and found a Louisiana restaurant here, man, did some amazing corn mock chew. Had some char-grilled oysters with lump crab meat on top. And good stuff. But vegetables today were green beans. So, yeah, took a little break from the asparagus.
I'm sure your kidneys thank you for that, Rob. Appreciate that. And, you know, again, as much as I talk junk, I am a fan of the char-grilled oysters. That's the only oysters I will eat. But, you know, again, I'm a fan of that. So that's what we do.
Thanks.
So,
I introduced
you know,
it to you, man. You got to thank me for that.
Hey, man, I'm not mad about
too.
That.
Hmm?
That's
right.
Introduced
me to the Gary, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Oysters, char-grilled.
That's it, man. I mean, they were fantastic. I came home. I couldn't believe it. I said, guess what I ate? I ate oysters. And they're like, what? That was fantastic.
No, thank you.
And
not raw. Not
and
the raw ones.
And we were in when we were in New Orleans, passing through on one of our road trips. I introduced my mom to him. Yeah.
Did she like them?
Yeah, she liked them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next ones I got to introduce you to, Gary, the barbecue oysters.
I'll be up as long as they cook those redfish. You know, another good delicacy there, man. So you know, we have some fun, man. You know, again, We show some love on the show. We're not we don't try to pick on Rob from that instance too as well. You know, obviously he is a foodie. We appreciate that for sure.
Oh,
and,
he's a big time.
That's what
dude.
We do.
Big time.
Big time. Big time. You know that. Gary, how you feel this evening, sir?
I'm doing well. Getting things organized around here. Buying myself a riding lawnmower on Friday.
Do you have the standard shot of the chandelier yet, or what?
Oh, the chandelier's done. It's done. I think our name's going to want a couple more though, but for right now, it's done.
There we go. Hey, we appreciate that. And
luckily, the real lucky thing, and I really lucked out where I moved to, is because my next door neighbors, have a handyman service, and I've been going over there knocking on their door. Hey, I got this new cabinet I want you to put together. I got this new whatever, you know. It's been fantastic.
Fantastic.
So
I love it.
I'm loving it.
That's good stuff. Whenever it's crazy, you have all the time, and you're supposed to be retired, but yet you're doing all this stuff. It's definitely an oxymoronic situation, too, man. So hopefully we'll get some more insights on Gary's retirement life and what that looks like for sure. But, you know, another episode later to fill in the gaps for sure. All right, this is going to be a pretty quick show. We're going to get right on. We're going to end right at the top of the hour too, because we got to get respectful of everyone's time. But for those that want to call on the show, we got a lot of things to discuss. Rob, appreciate the topics as always. Reach out to your boys. Call in the show. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at 12 Man Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook, which is facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12man. Or if you put talking 12 men sports, you'll find us in that arena as well. We post all the things. Robert posted the most updated 2023 top 32 NFL prospects. I am taking a look at all the quarterbacks. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But if you're interested in your teams, what you need, we have posted the top prospects, and we'll talk about that during the show as well. But without further ado, let's get right into it, gentlemen. Let's talk about the World Series update. The last that I checked, it was middle of the ninth. Oh, it's actually wrapped up, and it looks like the Rangers have pulled this off. 5-0 over the Diamondbacks. They just pour in runs, breakout ninth for the Rangers. And, yeah, so they have congratulations to the Rangers. They have won the World Series. Go ahead, Rob. You can kind of elaborate that as well, sir.
Yeah, so congratulations to the metropolitan Dallas area. Obviously, Texas Rangers won in their first World Series. They went 11-0 on the road this entire playoffs. I mean, that is an incredible feat for that organization. And the thing about it is, man, they keep this team together. They're expected to get Jacob DeGrom back next year, who's one of the better pitchers in the game when healthy, right? You know, so this is an opportunity maybe for this team to maybe put something together. And as Andre mentioned, a four-run ninth inning. They were up 1-0 most of the game. Got four runs in the top of the ninth to seal this victory. Marcus Semien with a two-run shot in the ninth inning as well. So an incredible feat. Once again, they win their first World Series title in the organization history. And they go 11-0 on the road through the playoffs. Unbelievable accomplishment. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, and with all that said, it was, you know, one of the lowest-rated World Series in a long time. You know, you just didn't hear that hub-hub every day and all this stuff about it. It was just, you know, it was just barely even on the – you know, the sports, you know, the sports channels, it was weird. Unless you have those marquee matchups, you know.
Yep. I'll be honest. I think the only game I watched was the one last night. I mean, did I follow it? Yes. I mean, I was following it and things of that nature. But the only game I actually watched was the game last night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I did is follow. I would tune in here and there, but I never even watched the full game of it. I would just get updates on my phone, that sort of thing. And that's just – that's very unusual because I typically watch every single game, every minute of it. So I just wasn't that interested. But still, congratulations. You get your first World Series ring, you know, fantastic one.
And there it is. That's JQ. We're just talking about the World Series update, JQ, essentially right at the gate.
Yeah. I mean, that score last year was deceiving. That was a whooping. It was 10-0 after the second inning, then getting no hits tonight until the seventh, and playing one in that error, and then the home run in the ninth inning. Just wow. Yeah, got to give Texas a ton of credit, but they host the All-Star game next year, and that means it's going to be turned up in Dallas in July, baby. I can't wait.
Ooh, we know you're going to be there. Big money, JT.
You know you're going to be there. Baseball. Walk around sounding like we're tired, like Shannon Sharpe said.
That's cool. I'd actually like to go to that next year. We'll see what kind of quarter that'll be. If I can get away from time, DJ, man. You're the travel, man. It's fun, as always, man. So good stuff. Hey, we're talking about we're getting really caught up about a couple of events. We're going to keep this going too for the night, gentlemen, because we're going to try to find some topics here. Obviously, we talk about the dynamics of the football season and quarterbacks and whatnot. And we have another hit, right? So Kirk Cousins is officially out for the season, and Kevin O'Connell actually hopes that he's coming back to the Vikings next season. And obviously, if you were paying attention, Kirk did actually wait. You know, he had no trade clause. He liked Minnesota, wanted to stay there. This is going to be an interesting dynamic, guys, because, you know, we talk about history and how he can come back. But Kevin O'Connell, I really appreciate what he's been doing, too. So I know we can kind of go around the horn and tell your thoughts about it, too. So, JQ, you just joined in. I don't know if you want to talk about that initially right out the gate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing about it is that he and Kirk are looking like, well, Kirk is probably like, if we can keep Justin Jefferson, I would stay here with him, because how often do you necessarily really get to play with somebody being considered top five in their position? And so it's not an yeah. Justin Jefferson. I think he doesn't necessarily sound like maybe a huge contract, but he's okay with being franchised in 1 or 2 year extensions and trying to keep it in line to see what happens with Justin Jefferson. And if you also look at it, I mean, the NFC is getting better, don't get me wrong, but, you know, the Bears are still the Bears. The Packers don't look great with Jordan Love. He's clearly not playing good ball. Wow. Detroit's playing fantastic ball. But, yeah, you're dealing with them, but you say, okay, I'm dealing with them, and with San Fran, Dallas, and Philly. And then you look at that AFC gauntlet that, you know, still is out there for everybody, and it's like, well, where do I go? Do I stay here, or do I compete with a top five receiver, or I go somewhere else and run that gauntlet in the AFC? It's not that the NFC is easy, but I feel like the AFC is just a little deeper. So if you're Kirk Cousins, right, you got Justin Jefferson, you're like, I'm okay with staying here. He's talking about staying here. So that doesn't, if you're Kevin, I'm like, well, I'll get a Pro Bowl quarterback, even though we get Kirk Cousins, you know, he's solo powered, but he's been to the Pro Bowl multiple times, and as an alternate, and he's got different Justin Jefferson as a top five wide receiver. I can see them trying to run it back and just trying to build around that as a core if they can make that happen.
Yeah, not only Jordan Jefferson. I mean, you got to look at what Addison is doing, too, now. I mean, it's like they got a legitimate number two receiver as well in that offense. And then when you look at what they've gotten out of Hockenson at the tight end position, so they certainly have some weapons in the passing game. And hey, it's not easy to find quarterbacks, right? And Kirk Cousins has proven to be an adequate quarterback in that offense. Is he number one quarterback in the league? No. But is it going to be easy for them to find somebody better than him? Absolutely not. It's not going to be easy. I think, you know, obviously you still got to wait and see how the season plays out. I mean, they did get Joshua Dobbs, and it looks like he's going to be starter. I know he won't start this week, but probably after this week he'll be the starter going forward for the rest of the season. I mean, the Vikings are on the thick of the playoff run. I mean, believe it or not, as the season ended today, the Vikings will be the number 7 seed in the NFC at 4-4 to win 3 straight games. But, you know, the only way I don't see them going after Kirk Cousins is if they somehow fall off the rest of the season, which is possible with their quarterback situation. And they find they wind up in the top five of the draft, right? Now, if they got an opportunity to get in the Drake May sweepstakes or the Caleb Williams sweepstakes or the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes, then maybe you say, hey, you know, we're going to be at the top of the draft. We got to draft a quarterback, and maybe we let Kirk Cousins go. But I think other than that, you got to look at if you're not in the top five, then you're going to have to look at Kirk Cousins because nothing is guaranteed that you're going to be able to get one of those quarterbacks.
Well, and the season he was having, you know, he had over 2,300 yards, 18 TDs, 5 picks. I mean, and then his last couple of games I saw him, and man, he played good. In the pocket, he can hit, making clutch plays. This is one of the best seasons I've seen him play in a while. So that's too bad that he was injured, but he's in the NFC, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
just being
yeah,
real.
We get you, Gary.
I don't wish him anything bad, but you know.
Yeah, no.
They're
100%.
A threat. You know, with how he's played.
Yeah, you know how happy I was to Chase Young went to San Francisco and after somebody in the AFC like Kansas City or Baltimore, I was like. Listen, I'm glad we wasn't involved in it, but I'm glad he went to the NFC, so I'm with you, though. I got you. that's the way to think, but hey, two part things. You want to see our D's win, so sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
and I know you guys.
Okay, when we talk about playoff teams and we've talked about championship teams and we've talked about there's got to be a little luck involved in that, you know, as whoever's, you know, going to win the championship or be represent each conference in it, you know, with a team like Minnesota that is not going to be nearly as strong now without Kirk Cousins having the type of season he was having. That's a plus for the other teams that are the top in that division to not have to go against him. So that's what I was saying. That's what I was meaning.
No, you're right. And if you're Detroit, you're like, cool, we hope for this. I mean, like, Detroit wants to win to get the Detroit and actually be the number one seed just because of the way their schedule breaks down.
The competition.
But if you're Detroit, you got to be looking like, man, we don't have to rush dudes back, right? Like, if they're somewhat banged up, we can maybe rest them because we don't feel like we have to get every game to win the NFC North right now. They were the only challenge, and now he's gone. So, yeah, I get you 100%. I understand. Like, it's harsh to say out loud, but I'm sure that in closed circles in the Detroit organization, they're like, yeah, bro, you go ahead and accept it. Go ahead and give us our t-shirts right now. We got this as you want. So it is what it is. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast.
Yep. Notice I didn't put the top five NFL topics, top five NFL teams in the topic this week, man. I couldn't stand looking at y'all make another 49ers and put them in the top five. So just decided not to put them in this week.
Why are you so hurt and frustrated at that? We weren't even talking about San Francisco.
They're going to be number one. I'm just joking. No, back to the Vikings talk, too. And you said it, Gary, because you got to think about this, right? Kirk Cousins was probably having one of his better seasons, and then, you know, he won in prime time, so they talked about that. You finally won a prime time game, and then he was kind of hitting a stride, and then obviously the timing of the injury was not favorable for the Vikings, too, because, you know, they beat some good teams.
No,
they have a great game. They end up beating the 49ers, but we were like, oh, my God, and obviously the 49ers got beat by the Bengals, but it was just interesting how, you know, the Vikings are finally kind of hitting their stride, and you saw the emergence, Rob, as you said, of Addison. So now you can see, man, you know, if you get, you know, once Jefferson's back, this is a very explosive team. You know, they've had the defense, and, you know, even playing, I'm still nervous about the Falcons going against that game, because that's, we can't even freaking win against Will Levis, but point of the conversation. But again, the Vikings were playing well, so good stuff to see that, and, you know, obviously,
and one last comment I'll mention about the Vikings. I know we're probably spending a little bit too much time on this topic, but their defense, Brian Flores says they're playing outstanding defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's been another key factor with them winning three games in a row. For Flores, a tremendous job. Daniil Hunter, one of the league leaders, I think he's got 9 sacks. LSU, you know, he's doing a phenomenal job, you know, from an aggressive standpoint and the overall defense. So, you really look at these last few games, I mean, Flores has done a tremendous job. You saw them 49ers game, picked off Brock Purdy at the end of the game. They held the Packers to 10 points this past week. So, Flores has really got that defense balling. That might be their opportunity to stay in some games. You know, particularly when they get Joshua Dobbs back in the, you know, the speed in the offense.
Don't stop that shit, Joshua Dobbs. It's still Joshua Dobbs. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andre.
That's all good. Hey, let's keep this going. I'm going to get to these topics here. So really quickly, the Raiders named Aiden O'Connell, the starting QB for the rest of the season. Obviously, this is after firing McDaniels and Ziegler. Rob will talk about this and who will be the next coach. Jimmy Garoppolo's playing like crap. He's playing terrible. That dude was just, you know, stealing money right now. Josh McDaniels is trying to sit with him. And you talk about this Devontae Adams is just, like, depressed. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things happening with the Raiders organization. So, Rob, you can touch on that really quickly, and we can kind of keep it going.
Yeah, and, hey, I know it's preseason, but I saw a good bit of Aiden O'Connell preseason. He actually played really well. I mean, it looked like he's got a future in this league. And, you know, is he ready to be a starter quarterback today? Probably not. But, hey, they want to see what they have. And Mark Davis, this is probably what led to Josh McDaniels firing. He wanted to go with O'Connell. And I don't think Josh McDaniels wanted to go that route. But this Raiders organization is a dumpster fire, man. I cannot see them winning anything as long as Mark Davis is the owner of that organization. They are a dumpster fire right now. It's going to be hard to convince a legitimate coach and talent to want to go there and be a head coach. It's really a dumpster fire of an organization right now. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Go ahead, Gary.
Really quickly, Jake, you anything?
When you get rid of your star wide receiver's best friend and you're bringing that dude, he comes out and he misses him for two bombs, like two legitimate bombs that could have changed that game against Detroit, and it just puts a punctuation mark
wide open
on the failure of young wide open. Josh McDaniels and Garoppolo. So, yeah, I get it. But the thing about it is, it's like, yeah, when we find somebody and he's young and he's on a rookie contract, we can use him, cool. But if he sucks and we suck from here on out, I can say to Devontae, hey, we sucked. I get it. We wasted 2 years for you. We're going to give you Caleb Williams or May. Give him a chance. So, at this point, you got to, I guess, turn boo-boo into roses and figure out what you can do. But that was so bad. They had to hit the hard reset on that. In the middle of the night, just firing people and benching quarterback things. It's not in the offseason deal. Like, the Raiders are a mess. But, real quickly, I thought the same thing about Mike Brown and Cincinnati. And they had a couple good drafts. They got Burrow and Chase and all that, and it turned it around. I won't say that they can't win with Mark Davis as the owner, because I felt that way for a long time about Paul Brown. And they haven't won at all, but they've been at least competitive. So I'll give them a little glimmer of hope. But the way they're going right now, it's real bad.
Yeah. But, hey, the one thing I will say about Brown in Cincinnati, he gives his coaches a chance. And, he maybe gave Marvin Lewis a lot of chances, right?
That's funny.
Well, firing the coach after 1.5 seasons does not give a coach a chance to do anything, right? Unless the coach is just a complete dumpster fire. And, yeah, exactly. You cannot win if you keep doing that as an organization. You won't win if you're not giving that coach an opportunity. I will say that's one thing Brown has done with Cincinnati. He has given his coaches an opportunity to build their system or put their system in place to, see what he can do with getting personnel in place and things of that nature. But what Mark Davis is doing is not going to work. Look at the Houston Texans. They fired – coach just 2 years in a row after one season. They might have gotten it wrong with D'Amico Ryan, give him credit for that, but that's still yet to be determined. But
listen here, Marvin Lewis is like Twinkies and cockroaches. At the end of the nuclear war happens, those two things will always survive. I won't believe it until I see them do it. Now, that's why I am with him. So he can survive a nuclear war.
Man, he got it on cue, man.
That is terrible.
Mother view stuff. I got Gary talking shit in here too, so we'll see. We'll play that a little later too. So it's good stuff. Not to cut that off. But hey, it is good for the Raiders to be good, right? At some point, it's tough, then you miss them having a pretty good, so competitive balance in the league, but like you said, JQ, we'll see if Mark Davis can turn around, because right now it can take one draft. They can mess around and just get lucky and draft get a good draft in there, So it's happened to the Browns. We're talking about the quarterback situation in a quick second, but the defense is looking pretty solid right now too. So speaking of that really quickly, Rob, I do want to say who is on the short list to become the next Raiders head coach.
Well, obviously Antonio Pierce is the interim guy. So, I think it's going to take a miracle for him to have a good remainder of the season. But if miracles do happen, right? So if he does come out and does a phenomenal job, you got to put his name in the box, right? Jim Harbaugh. But will a guy like Jim Harbaugh want to come to an organization? Before Sean Payton took the Saints job, Oakland offered him the job the year before, and Payton turned it down and said he didn't think the Raiders organization was structured well. So he stayed an extra year as the offensive coordinator with the Cowboys and took the Saints job the next year. And so will Harbaugh want to take a job to go to Oakland, right? You know, the NCAA is knocking on Jim Harbaugh's door. Maybe he listens to an NFL job. But will it be Oakland? They're Las Vegas now. Sorry. You know, will he want to go to an organization like that? That's yet to be determined. Aaron Glenn, defense coordinator from Detroit, I think he's going to be on the short list for a lot of organizations. I know when he was on the Saints coaching staff, Sean Payton really thought highly of him. Aaron Glenn will run a lot of the practices. And so I think they're definitely grooming him to be a head coach. Maybe Eric Bieniemy gets an opportunity.
Thought about that.
Jim Schwartz, yeah. Browns defensive coordinator. Maybe he gets another opportunity, doing a really good job with the Browns. And maybe Wink Martindale, who's the defense coordinator with the Giants this year, longtime defense coordinator with the Ravens. So I think those are some names that possibly are being thrown around. But, yeah, you know, I think the big one is you're going to see some teams go after Jim Harbaugh, especially with the NCAA knocking on Michigan's door.
Stuff. Really quickly, briefly talk about Deshaun. I mean, he's still questionable. Did return to practice. Rob, I don't know if you can talk about it real quickly. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but you can hit on that really quickly.
Well, yeah, I mean, he returned, I believe, on a limited basis today. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, right now, it still seems unclear on whether or not he's going to play. Against the Cardinals, maybe they sit him another week, especially with the Cardinals. Look like they're going with Clayton Tune, their quarterback. I mean, it'd be an opportunity for their defense to possibly tee off on his ass and you know, maybe just watch him another week.
Come on, man.
Say what?
Not tee off on his ass.
Say, come on, man. Yeah. You're stupid. Go ahead.
Hey, man, this is the truth. But, yeah, maybe you sit him another week and get him ready for the following week here. But right now he's questionable against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are 1-7, and like I said, starting the rookie Clayton Tune against that defense. Yeah, I mean, if Deshaun is not ready, I mean, this is a week to sit him another week.
Yep, there it is. Just saw this really quickly, guys, and a little side note. Bob Knight, the legendary coach for Hoosiers, Indiana, has passed.
Yeah.
Man, it's kind of sad at 83 years old. I'm from Indiana, so I know how pretty big that has impacted just the icon in the sport. That dude was an asshole, man, but that dude was a tough, hard-nosed coach. I don't make him like that anymore, man. So just kind of sad to see that come across the wire too, man. So that's just a little that's rough, man.
Oh, no wonder you throw chairs when you get mad. I forgot you from Indiana.
Yeah, this is how the folks are playing. They're playing like this, man. Man, that was disgusting, man. He was like, this is how you guys are playing. I was like, oh, man, that's a grown man. That's pretty disgusting. Yeah, man, whenever.
On for real, I know mad, I have
to hear about people
before they. Yeah, exactly. I finished the topic before that came out tonight. But, yeah, obviously, you know, my heart goes out to his family and legendary college basketball coach. Won 3 national championships, 1976, 81, and 87. Isaiah Thomas was on that 81 championship team, 87. Keith Smart hit the buzzer beater against Syracuse in the Superdome in New Orleans. Yeah, so, and I think the 76 team went undefeated with Quinn Buckner, if I'm not mistaken. I believe they were went undefeated, so. Yeah, definitely a phenomenal coach. You know, some questionable antics there, but you know,
perfection.
Perfection.
Definitely a perfectionist. And he had a certain way he wanted his guys to run their offense and defense. And man,
you will run it as I tell you.
That was awesome.
You will run it like I tell you. Pass, 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 pass. Shoot. Pass, pass, pass. Shoot. Shoot. That's what I said. What?
Where's
it? Man, Dre has been on one for the past 2 or 3 days. So I'm just going to point that out.
Woo, let's get it.
I told you.
Let's get it.
It just all came back to me. I forgot Dre was from Indiana. That's why you get that throwing them chairs from.
That's right, man. Don't get me mad. Don't make me angry. Hey, let's talk about the Jets. Are they a playoff contender? Don't look now. 4-3. You know, we look at their schedule here. They've got wins over the Eagles and the Giants. They're 4-3. And let's talk about what's happening with the Jets right now, too, because if you look at it,
You know, we haven't talked about Zach Wilson, but he's quietly improving, right? And then we talk about what's happening. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett is putting them in good position. Jeff Ubrecht, the defensive coordinator, they're kind of hitting their stride. They create pressure, creating turnovers here. They take on the Giants. They take on, I think they have the Raiders coming up.
They just beat the Giants.
They have a bye. I'm looking at the Bills and the Dolphins coming up. They got the Raiders and Chargers coming up.
They got the Chargers.
That's correct.
Raiders.
Chargers and the Raiders coming
Bills,
up, too.
Miami,
and then,
Atlanta,
and the Bills,
Texas.
Miami again. Yeah, so,
Browns.
Texans. We'll see.
Answer is no.
But right now.
The answer is no. The price is wrong, Bob.
Wrong. Price is wrong, bitch.
They're either going to be 7-10 or 8-9 when it's all said and done. They got a quarterback that is not trustworthy out there. You can't trust this guy.
I'll say this about the Jets. I mean, they've won 3 in a row. They're 4-3. Right now, there's 4 teams in the AFC at 4-3, and that's for the last 2 playoff spots. So right now, there's the Jets at 4-3, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Bengals all at 4-3. And the Steelers and the Browns, if the season ended today, would get those last 2 playoff spots. Obviously, there's a lot of football left to be played. I expect the Bengals to get back in there, and I think Joe Burrow's getting healthy. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the rest of those teams. But I do think the Bengals will be one of those spots. I'll say this about the Jets. I think they're going to be competitive, but I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I mean, their defense is good. As Andre just mentioned, Breece Hall, they got some weapons going there. And I don't think the quarterback is showing enough progress for them to get to the playoffs. He's improving a little bit, but not enough for them to get to the playoffs. I think they'll fall short. Like I said, those 4 teams, I definitely think the Bengals will get back in there, and then we'll see what happens, you know, with the other teams. The Browns got a chance, too, if they can get Deshaun healthy and back playing well with that defense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Not something about the Steelers. I'm just not sold on them yet, particularly with that offense. I know they got a good defense. Maybe similar like the Jets, they'll be competitive with the defense, but I just don't think they'll get enough production offensively.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Gary. We said the answer to the question is no. Yeah, no. It's amazing the things that we do to help change the narrative for a dude. Like, he's barely playing competent, but he was, what, the number 2 pick, the number 3 pick overall in the draft, and the things we were saying, that he did play a good game against the Giants. He had a couple good throws in overtime. I'll give him that. But to say he had a good game, no, he did not. He played against another bad team. That was an incompetent game. But you call it a bum fight? A bum fight that they had out there in New Jersey. It was bad. So we sit there and we want to make him feel better about it and prop the Jets up, and they have a good defense. Don't get me wrong. But he's just not somebody. I'm with you, Gary. You can't trust them. They still got to play a load of that in the AFC East. The reason why they're ahead of the Bengals is the Bengals started slow, and they gave them 2 AFC teams, and then gave them all the NFC West back, you know, right after that. So they don't have an AFC win yet. So that's why they're losing the tiebreakers right now. So we'll have to give it a couple of weeks. But, yeah, man, I'm not going to put it on there. I'm not a Jets hater. I just don't trust Zach Wilson at all. I just don't think he's going to be the one to take to the promised land.
Yep, there it is. I was going to play the clip for the, you know, and say the Jets strong, but I don't have that stored up here, so I'll have to grab that later too. But sorry, Jets. It's just going to be a tough situation for you guys, too. And they're hoping and wishing and praying for Aaron Rodgers' speedy recovery, if that's still on the show for now. Let's talk about another interesting topic. Falcons finally made a switch to Taylor Heinicke, and it's funny because I got so many texts from Naj going back and forth about it's Heinicke time. He was so thrilled and excited. And the scary thing is the fact that Arthur Smith had to kind of think about this made me want to pimp smack everybody, man. Come on, man. And you had the Titans easy the game was with Desmond Ridder in the game. He was having all these fumbles, and the dude was holding the ball, getting sacked 5 times in the first game. We didn't do nothing. And then he's like, "Whoa, I got to make a change because he had a concussion." Get the hell out of here, man. Put this guy in there, man. Stop
Stop making the Falcons suffer right now. We know what it is, man. You know what it is, man. What the hell?
You, ahead, Dre, what? Dre.
He was benched when he had nothing to do with a concussion.
No, it's not that. But you know what it is. We've all watched football long enough to know this. When you go and you make a decision on who your quarterback you think could be for the future, they draft him in third or fourth round. You know you get rid of Matt Ryan. Everybody's taking that as, hey, this is the next guy in line to be an Atlanta quarterback. And he struggled. And I'm not going to say that he hasn't. But when you have a young quarterback, no other position but maybe cornerback and quarterback, that if you yank him and you mess with his confidence, you might lose him forever. So Arthur Smith is playing that Ryan Tannehill game and all the other stuff. You know what I mean? If I yank him too soon and Taylor comes out there and he balls, then now I have a dude that I use a third-round pick on that I can't have on my team anymore because I shot his confidence because I didn't give him enough of a chance. But at the same time, he's looking at it now at the crossroads, what are they, 4-4, something like that? That's a very winnable division in the NFC South. So now is the time to make the change. So I get it. It's not a popular thing to do, but sometimes you got to be a politician as a head coach as well. You can't yank him too soon because if you don't give him enough time, you'll lose Desmond Ridder forever. And some people will say, okay, whatever, cool, F Desmond Ridder, he sucks. Yes, but you spent third-round capital on him. And Rob will tell you, let him do research for you, and you bring all the third-round picks that turned out to be really good in the league. That's not like having a seventh-round pick you strike gold on. You expect that third-round pick to be a contributor for your team. So when you spend that capital on him and you make him the quarterback seemingly of the future, you can't yank him too soon. He gave him enough time, and he said, okay, here we are. We bought this game. Taylor looked good in relief. We're going to go in a different direction. But you can't pull him after week three. You just can't do that to a quarterback you just drafted. It's not like he's a retread. He's still real young.
Get
why he was trying to.
I'll give you a little bit of that, but this is my challenge to that, is that you didn't play him in the preseason. You had ample time to prepare him for the season. You didn't do that. You knew this dude wasn't, you know, if you don't sit here and, you know, piss on me and tell me it's raining, man. Because, you know, again, you know, we're smart to see what's going on, man. Like, come on, man. This dude doesn't have enough experience, man. That's what it feels like, man. That's how I feel about it, man. I feel like you've been like, you lied to me, like over here. You had a play where you basically had a play where you had Jonnu Smith throw it to Mykal Pruitt and you had Kyle Pitts blocking. What type of shit is that?
That's not how you use Kyle Pitts, man.
What type of shit is that? So, again, and you're like, well, we're safe. You're like, come on, man. We're supposed to have a dynamic offense. We're supposed to have a dynamic offense. And I get it. You know, again, you want to put your quarterback in a position to be successful. And you're feeding us some bullshit, man. And then the wink, wink, hey, we're going to go back to Tennessee. Man, we should have whipped Tennessee. But, yeah, how the hell is Will Levis looking better than damn Ridder? What type of shit is that? You put the Falcons in a man. Like, he's just going nuts on us. Put it in a fucking zone. Figure out a way to stop this dude. How's he throwing for 300 damn yards on us? Like, what the hell? Like, we look terrible. And then they just, hey. Jeffrey Simmons, we couldn't block that dude. Like, what the hell? Freaking low snap. Ridder fumbling. Man, this shit is like, this is insane. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I'm sorry. I'm just pissed, man. Like, what the hell? I'm scared of the Vikings. How's going to happen?
I'll just say this about Tennessee. We got to remember, I mean, are they a great football team? No. But their defensive line is still one of the best in the game.
Yes.
I mean, that defensive line is still one of the best in the business. You got to bring your lunch pail if you're going to compete with them. Do they have some deficiencies in the rest of their roster? Absolutely. But that defensive line will wreak havoc on anybody's football team. And Will Levis, yes, he's a rookie. But you got to remember, Will Levis, mm-hmm. after his junior year, was considered to be a top 10 pick in his draft. The guy's got a rocket for an arm. He's mobile. So, he fell in the second round. The reason why he fell to the second round, his senior year, he wasn't healthy, number one. Number two, he did make a lot of bad decisions because his offensive line was horrible. He forced into a lot of bad throws instead of eating a lot of those sacks. He made a lot of bad mistakes. So that dropped him in the draft. But when you look at his potential, at one point, he was considered a top 10 pick. I mean, he's still a rookie, and, you know, you still expect him to struggle a little bit as a top 10 pick, you know, in your rookie season. But, you know, you can't, you know, you're talking about a guy who had first – Desmond Ridder was never considered a first-round talent.
Thank you, Rob. You know, appreciate that. Thank you.
And Will Levis was considered not only a first-round talent, but a top 10 talent at one point in the draft. And – you know, Desmond Ridder, drafted in the third round. At some point, you expect to be a starter, yes. But like I said, Will Levis was still expected to be a top 10 pick in the draft at one point.
And
I'm
just
not
real quick, Drake, if you look,
that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying if you look where that is, though, that Titans defense in Nashville also beat that supposedly, and I think can get back to being the electric Cincinnati offense, and they also did it to that Chargers offense with everybody was still healthy. So playing Tennessee in Nashville, and I've been there in person, is a hard thing to do. And that defensive line, like Rob just said, is really good. But if you look at the other offenses, their three wins have all been at home against Atlanta, who was close to the top of their division, Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and those weapons, and Justin Herbert with him and his team in their offense. So don't shortchange them like that, like they're just terrible. Like they aren't the Panthers. That defense is still pretty decent, and they caught lightning in the bottle that day with Levis. And I give you the coverages. I didn't get what Atlanta was doing with the play calling. But that Tennessee team is not as bad as I think you think it is. Like, they've beaten some good high-powered offenses that we thought coming to the season, the Chargers and the Bengals, would have good offenses. And they beat the Chargers, I believe, in overtime, and they kept the Bengals, I think, the 3 points. So you got to give them a little credit.
I'm giving them credit. I'm not sure. That I was saying, remember, I did say Jeffrey Simmons was wrecking havoc. The defense was good. They traded their safety, so
Harold
had some opportunities for that. So again, I wasn't saying that. I'm not saying that it wasn't a gimme game. I just like, okay, you know, we were cut up in the air, and I just Will Levis just went nuts. And I get what you're talking about too, Rob. He was considered top pick. I just didn't know what we were doing because it felt like, hey, here we go. It's a good. I'm gonna give you Tennessee a gift. And he's like, what the hell is happening over here, man? So it just was very questionable throughout the day.
Hey,
This
Heineke might just be one of the guys that you really need. You know, he might be that guy that
we don't know.
Lightning in the bottle, and in a couple 3 weeks, you're seeing him, let's say, improve, and then this conversation that you're having, this little fit throwing tantrum that you're having, is null and void.
You think it's a tantrum? I'm really upset, man, because I'm hoping that he doesn't go back and say, well, you know, it was just for this week, and now we're going to go back to the – and I get this delicate balance with confidence. I get that, JQ. It's just like every thought man knows, like, you know, Heineke was able to move the offense, so why not go back? And, again, it's okay for somebody to learn and kind of learn the job, and he didn't have the best mentor in Mariota, so we get all that too. And I get it. You're trying to, like, he's my guy, but – we got a good enough defense, you know. Let's pump the brakes here and just kind of realize, because you effed up, Arthur. You should have played him earlier. You should have did all this, man. So it's on you, man.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
But you're 4-4, and you're still in the equation for the division. So at the end of the day,
bullshit.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying you still have the ability to win that division. Is all I'm saying to you. Like, it's still there to be won. So I get it. Being mad, but like he pulled the trigger at the time.
They're in first place right now.
Yeah, like you can still win that division. There's still there to be won. So, you know, you gotta take it back a step, bro. and host the playoff game if you win the division.
It's pretty disturbing.
And
right
host
now,
the playoff
man.
Game. So I'm saying, like,
he's over here, like,
I'm just saying.
Put him back in, like, man, Arthur.
No. Hell no. You can't take the genie out of the bottle after what happened. And you talk about your defense. The defense lost that game for Atlanta. If you watched that game, 100%.
I don't know why we were playing in man the whole time. Levis and freaking DeAndre Hopkins had him on the damn bench, scored freaking 37 damn points. That's some bullshit. But again, who would have thought that, man? You know, D-Hop having his best game. So, you know, that's what it is. I want to talk about Darren Waller. He's gonna submit some time here. And his what? Did you want to talk about that, Gary? I'm sorry. I was trying to come off of this, man. I was trying to be respectful here. So I won't spend all the time.
No, we got to go to another topic.
Really quickly, he's had a significant, you know, his hamstring is getting hurt, and I think he tried to come back too soon, which is the same thing that happened before. So that's probably why he's going to take some time off, and he's going to really, really consider putting him on IR just to kind of get some time to kind of recoup from that too. But just real quickly for the Giants, so I don't want to talk about it real quickly, Rod, or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big, you know, he was their best pass catcher. He had 36 catches, 384 yards, and only one touchdown. And that just goes to show you how bad the Giants' passing games have been this year. He's been a leading receiver with 36 catches, 384 yards, and one touchdown. So another huge blow to that Giants offense. Second year in a row, he's having these hamstring issues. He's 31 years old, you know, so, you know, obviously – you have to start to wonder if he's ever going to be the Darren Waller we saw 3-4 years ago at this stage in his career. He can miss anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks here with this hamstring injury. So definitely a huge blow. Don't know if they're going to get Daniel Jones back. I think Tyrod Taylor got hurt in that game as well. So a lot of issues right now, unfortunately, for the Giants. But Gary's he's not feeling sorry.
Gary's unhappy. Gary doesn't care. Gary's happy over here.
No,
Gary
I don't care.
He's just one of those guys that can't stay healthy, and you have to start looking like we can't pay him this kind of money. We just have to limit his snaps. Like, he can be good in a limited snap role, I think. I think we're putting him out there for all those snaps, his body just won't hold up for it. He's done too much damage to it in terms of his other pieces of his life. And I'm glad that dude has gotten his life together. So I'm not making light of that. But I just think that some of that sometimes has an effect on your body. And I just don't think right now it might be good for him just to take a lower kind of role, snap role, and try to get fully healthy and then see. But, yeah, he just might be where he is earlier in his career, where you can't use him on 80% of the snaps. You just can't.
Yep.
Well, Father Time's undefeated, and that's just – and with hamstrings and are one of those injuries that, man, if your hamstring, if you're prone to get them, man, you battle that. You battle that. And at that level, it's tough. You know, he's going to – he's going to miss serious time with that. Not that it was much of a factor and the Giants are really out of things, but too bad for the kid. He's a kid to me, you know, but older for in the league. So we'll have to see how that, he'll be out for maybe 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, for a minute. He wants to heal completely this time. Yeah, he came too fast is what he said. I really quickly top
and you
five.
Can, you might even play him, and if you know, because every player, we've all played sports, and we've all had injuries, and we've all wanted to come back, you know, and we had someone, whether it was a coach or, you know, at our level, maybe our parents or whatever, that said, no, you're not ready, you know. At that level, they have a whole staff that's saying, you know, You're not ready. And if their coaching staff is letting a player come back too soon, you know, it's on them. It's not on that player. At this level, it's on their staff.
Yeah, well, the adrenaline is going for sure. The adrenaline is going really hot. Really quickly, I'm going to go to the top QBs. JQ, you're probably going to have a little different top one. But really quickly, Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, Jackson, Allen. That's what I've got for the top five.
I can't knock that top five. You got to put Mahomes first.
Number one.
Yeah. No, man, come on, man. Listen, I love Joe Burrow, but one dude has rings and MVP, and another dude ain't got that. So you got to give him that level. I'm not mad at that top five.
32 prospects, my guy.
Oh, yeah. Let me get to the notes here. Hey, it's a change. First time I got Drake May at number one now ahead of Caleb Williams. And I got Drake May at the number one spot. Some scouts are starting to get concerned about Caleb Williams and some of his behavior and some of his comments.
Oh,
so I got Caleb Williams at the number two spot right now. Marvin Williams, number three. Chanu, offensive tackle from Penn State at number four. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia at five. Keon Coleman, wide receiver from Florida State. He's been a huge weapon for them, 6'4", great speed.
Oh, my God.
Louisiana kid, not sure how LSU didn't get him, but that's another story.
Okay.
Number seven, Kool-Aid McKinstry, one of the best names ever in college football, cornerback from Alabama. And Jake, you may like this one, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from Michigan. At the number eight spot, so that will put him as the third QB in the draft. Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame at nine. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU, having a big year at number 10. Quinn Ewers, quarterback, Texas, number seven from Texas. That will put him as the fourth quarterback. Obviously, I think my concern with Ewers would be his durability. Second year in a row, he got hurt. Scouts still love the strong arm and his ability, so we'll see how that shakes out. Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State at 12. Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington, having a big year at 13. Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia at 14. He's battling an ankle injury, and just goes to show you how deep and talented Georgia are right now. Bowers and Mims, probably the two talented NFL prospects on his roster, both out, and he still destroyed Florida this past week. Liatu Latu, edge rusher from UCLA. UCLA has got a really good defensive line, and Latu is the star. He's the edge rusher from UCLA, number 15. And I'm going to skip around a little bit for the sake of time. Show JQ some of love. We got a Mecca wide receiver from Ohio State at number 19. Alabama's got two really good edge rushers. We got Dallas Turner from Alabama at number 20. We got Chris Braswell, the other edge rusher from Alabama, at 32. We got Denzel Burke, cornerback, Ohio State, at 31. A couple of the cornerbacks, Bo Nix, got him at 27. I got Michael Penix Jr. At 28.
Let's go.
And so those are some of the quarterbacks there. So you're looking at six quarterbacks there projected in the first round as of right now. So I'll stop there. The rest is on the Talking Sports with the 12th Man page.
Man, that's low for Penix and Nix, ain't it? And I hate to have to say that about Nix, but oof. Those boys are playing good ball at this Pacific Northwest. I give them credit.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll go higher than that.
It's a loaded quarterback draft, and we say this all the time, man. Quarterback's going to go higher than what their ranking is, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah.
Artificially rise.
That's six quarterbacks right there. You hadn't even gotten to Jaden Daniels at LSU. You hadn't even gotten to Travis from Florida State. You haven't even gotten to Riley Leonard at Duke. So you got a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft. Two positions in this draft
like you
talk
about.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders, I don't have him in the first round any longer. But, yeah, he's another guy. Deion is convinced that he's going to come back to Colorado another year. We'll see what happens there.
Sure.
I think he does have a say in that. That's his dad, of course. But So, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. But two positions that this draft is loaded in, quarterback and wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You good with that, Gary? Good stuff.
I'm fine with that. Good job, Rob.
Yeah, let's look through the predictions really fast. You can kind of pick and choose. Just go really quick. Titans at Steelers. I don't know who wants it. Just call it out and say what you want. And we'll go from there.
I think Steelers bounce back this week at home. Close game though.
I agree.
I agree with. I picked Pittsburgh this week.
Dolphins at Chiefs.
This game's in Germany. I'm going to go with Miami. I'm going to go. It's a neutral field. They're playing in Germany. I've been more impressed with Miami's offense than the Chiefs' offense so far this year. I think defensively they're about equally. I think with this game being on a neutral field, I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win this game.
Unless the Dolphins put Jalen Ramsey on Kelsey, and that what happened last week against Denver, that Chiefs team is going to come out so motivated to prove a point. I'm going with Kansas City.
And I'm also going with Kansas City.
I'm going with the Dolphins. Let's do the Steelers at the Ravens. Seahawks at the Ravens.
The Ravens.
Ravens. Ravens playing well. I think they're trying to hit their stride. Seahawks still been winning, but they've been squeaking by in a couple of games. I think the Ravens are getting their stride right now.
It might be Detroit, Baltimore all over again.
Ravens are playing at home. Ravens.
Yep. I got Ravens too. Gary, Cowboys at Eagles. Uh-oh. What do you got?
You saw it. I'm going with the boys. Got a couple of good games. I'll tell you what, though. You know, if they stink it up like they did with the 49ers, I'm going to be pissed. But I think the boys are going to beat the Eagles.
I think it's going to be a good game, but I got to go with the Eagles. I think they're going to be motivated for this one at home. It's a divisional rivalry, so I don't think it's going to be like the 49ers game. I think it's going to be like a 27-24 field goal kind of win. It's going to be a good game, competitive game, physical game. I like the Eagles at home.
I agree. I think the Eagles' offensive line is a little better.
saw the Cowboys get banged up a little bit, and I just feel like the Eagles were overlooking the Redskins, the Commanders. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Again, 3 to 4 points, a really good game. If it was in Dallas, I might pick Dallas.
I would, too. Yeah. If it wasn't Dallas, I would pick Dallas.
Sorry, Gary. I'm going for the Eagles too, man. Just things, a lot of things, man. But again, you know, who knows, man? We'll just close out.
Well, there's going to be three disappointed guys this week. It
ain't going to bother me.
Hey, let's talk about the last game, the Bills at the Bengals, JQ. Uh-oh.
Come on, man. You know I'm going with the Bengals. And I'm just going to say.
Come on, man.
I mean, I see what. We'll have to see what Rasul Douglas can do. They got him in the trade with the Packers because they really needed it in the back end. But I feel like the Bills, honestly, just it's hard to replace three or four defensive stalwarts to get hurt for the year on a 53-man roster. I don't care how great you draft. It's hard to replace them for, especially Milano. And I think the Bengals have played the Bills tough the past couple of years as well. So not that the Bills can't win. I think it's a 4 to a 7-point game, but I'm going to take the Bengals.
I agree. I think just like we said about the Ravens hitting their stride, I think he's about to see the Bengals kind of go on the run here too. Joe Burrow's looking healthy. That bye week certainly helped. And the defense is playing well. I like the Bengals. As JQ mentioned, they've really had the Bills' numbers the last few years. We just hope we don't have another situation we had when they played last year.
Yeah, no, hell no.
Right. But I like the Bengals in that one. The Cincinnati Bayou Bengals.
I know you do.
That's the reason why Rob cares. Yeah.
Well, since you didn't pick my boys, I'm not picking your Bengals. I'm picking the Bills.
that's a spiteful. Like,
I just
thought
he was 9-1 in the playoffs against Sox. He's going to be 9-2 after Thursday.
Bold statement. We got that on. We recorded that, right, Andre?
Really? Wow.
I was trying to time it, but you're talking over that.
I'm circling the Bills there. They're circling the wagon.
Bills still can run the ball. How many years they've been trying to get?
Okay, Chris Berman.
Okay,
Chris Berman, you're circling the wagon.
They never run the ball. Yeah. That's right, circling the wagon. I love it. Top head coaches, DeMarco Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon. That's what I got for the top coaches. They're doing their thing. Your topic really quickly.
There.
You got a minute to hit that. Anything you want to talk about really quickly, and then we'll wrap this up. Go ahead, Rob.
I guess we have
2 minutes.
Kind of go over the college football predictions here for this weekend. Kansas State at Texas. This is
Rob. Close the show out, and I know I said that to be done at midnight, but let's close the show and then do the predictions and then be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. You got to click on this show for the rest of the week to get our college football predictions, so you don't want to miss it. We'll cover that in our OT portion. But next week, Wednesday night, Philadelphia, we want to hear from y'all and recap the Cowboys and Eagles game. We want to hear from y'all about the James Harden trade for Philadelphia. Tune in at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday night next week. We talk about the Phillies and how they fell apart in the playoffs, too. Central Zone, Chicago, we're going to hear from y'all on next week. Is Justin Fields still the answer in the future? That's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for you. And also Green Bay, we'll hear from y'all about Jordan Love as well. And the Mountain Time Zone, that'll be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. The Delta Center is back in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake, we want to hear from y'all in Salt Lake. And then on the West Coast, L.A., you got the Clippers getting Harden. Are they going to surpass the Lakers in the Western Conference? Are they going to surpass the Lakers in L.A.? And also the Clippers getting a brand new arena in Los Angeles on next year. We'll hear from y'all 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Wednesday night. Good night, people. Click on the same link to get the college football prediction.
See, he just says stuff like that to get me going. You know they ain't going to surpass the Lakers in L.A. I don't care how good they are. They're going to be good for 45 years before they can do that. So that's definitely not happening. I appreciate all y'all listening to the show. We'll holler at y'all next week. Go ahead. I want you to start it off with the predictions. I want to get to these. I feel like these are a good point of the show.
Sometimes you got to be an habitual line stepper to get stuff started on the show.
Yeah, no, listen, you excel at that role.
All right.
Gold Star Marcus.
Habitual. Gold Star. He's in a
23 Kansas, Texas. So you got
all right. College football prediction. Kansas State at Texas. I tell you, I'm struggling with this one because Kansas State's kind of playing well right now. But I'm going to pick Texas. Malik Murphy's playing well at the quarterback position in relief of Quinn Ewers. I'm going to go with Texas by 3 points in this game. And Kansas State is playing elite football here the last few weeks, so I kind of struggle with this one. Missouri at Georgia. Missouri's got a really good offense. But, hey, man, every time we doubt Georgia, they just come out and blow you out. So I'm just going to say Georgia's going to win this game there at home. Defensively, I see them shutting down Missouri, and I don't think Missouri will be able to stop Georgia. So I like Georgia in this game. Penn State at Maryland. Everybody keeps saying Maryland is a scary team, but I think they have lost two or three in a row, and they just lost to Northwestern. I like Penn State on the road to go on. Even though Penn State struggled with Indiana this past week, I like Penn State to go on and get this win. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, another Big 12 game that I'm going back and forth on. But I'm going to pick the upset here. I'm going to go Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy's on to get the team up to play Oklahoma. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State at home and upset Oklahoma. Washington at USC. Washington, to me, hasn't played particularly well the last couple of weeks either, on the defensive side of the football especially. But USC defense can't stop the four of us. Right? And we can be 4 against 11, and they can't stop us. So I'm going to go Washington.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Damn.
I'm going to go Washington.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
I mean, now that's pretty bad. Damn. Like, that's rough.
That's pretty bad, man. 4 of us?
Wow. Yeah, man.
So we can win 4 on 11.
Man, come on. Man, okay. Cal, they made good to Dan Rogers as the quarterback. Man, that's like 20
years. So
I'm going Washington on the road. They're going to Hollywood and beat USC. And then the last game I'm going to be most in tune to, LSU at Alabama. The intriguing thing in this game is going to be the LSU offense against the Alabama defense in this game. So, obviously, Jaden Daniels, the wide receivers, and LSU offensive line have been playing phenomenal. And Alabama's defense is looking like an old Alabama defense. So it's going to be really intriguing. I think the difference in this game to me is LSU's defense will not be able to hold up against Alabama's offense. And so I'm going to go – I think the game will be close, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to pick Alabama at home. I'm going to go 30-24 Alabama. Last year when this game happened, Andre and I was at the Clemson-Notre Dame game. And Andre was nice enough to drive so I can watch the end of the LSU game last year and be screaming and yelling in the car and LSU upset Bama. But, if Jaden Daniels finds a way to beat Nick Saban 2 years in a row, it'll be the first quarterback to beat Nick Saban team twice since Drew Brees did it at Purdue when Nick Saban was the head coach at Michigan State. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
What time is that game?
7:45 Eastern.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take Alabama at home all day. Well, only because they got all day to get for it, Alabama, and you know how Saban is. I think it's a close game. The LSU defense is the thing, and you're so used to LSU having just studs on the defense on every three levels, and they are giving up way too many points. And that's the only thing. I feel like LSU can score points. That's the only thing they can outscore them because of their defense. So I'm with you. I'm going to go with Alabama. I really want to pick Maryland. Fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Maryland, but I don't want that to happen because I need that Penn State victory to still mean a whole lot. But Penn State looks so bad against Indiana. And Maryland with Tua's little brother in that offense at home, if not now, when?
You know what I mean? Like, they have a chance. Mm-hmm. They play Penn State this week. They play, I believe they play Michigan next week or the week after. Like, if you're locked, you got to have a statement victory. Getting hired from Alabama to be the head coach at Maryland, this is as good a time as any to get one. So I'm going to go with Maryland in a really close game. The other pieces of which I agree with, you know how I am. I can't pick Kansas State or Texas, and I'm not a Texas fan. I just don't believe in Kansas State. They've been playing good, better ball, but I think Texas looked at that initial ranking and said, okay, we're right here. We beat Oklahoma. We got to win out. You know, I'm not real confident in this pick. I can see Kansas State winning by a field goal on something stupid because, you know, Sark is Sark. Mm-hmm. But I got to go with Texas. That's the one that really gives me pause. I can see Kansas State winning that game. I really can.
I struggle with that.
I have a hard time taking Kansas State on the road in Austin. But if there's any of them outside of Penn State, Maryland, because I just don't trust in James Franklin. You know what I mean? Like, have that come out and everybody talk about him and this, that, and the other, and then Maryland come out and do something crazy to him. This is going to be interesting on Saturday.
Yep. It's a lot of good games this weekend. One thing I would like to touch on real quickly, I know we got to run here, is, you know, just having a little fun. You know, next year starts the college football 12-team playoffs. If we had that format this year and if the season ended now, so you would have Ohio State as the one seed, Georgia as the two seed, Florida State as the three seed, and Washington as a four. Even though they have Michigan number three, the way that's going to work out is the top four conference champions will get the bye. So if this format holds, Michigan will have to drop to the five seed and will have to play the 12th seed, which would be Tulane. And then the sixth seed, Oregon, will have Penn State 11, and number seven, Texas, will have to play 10, Ole Miss. And number eight, Alabama, will have to play number nine, Oklahoma. So just fun to look at, you know, how that will look for possibility for next year. So that's going to be really cool once we get to that 12-team playoff, which I think is going to be needed with all these conferences, all these teams going into larger conferences now.
It sounds like they knew it was coming, huh?
Yeah.
You got Gary.
Yeah, the only difference I would have
with for USC with this week because I want them to beat Washington.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Maya is at home.
That is not going to happen. But I wonder what Coach Roger is. I'm going to take the over. So now, come on, man. USC, they just gave all that money to Cal, and they gave all that money to Arizona. You think they're going to hold Washington down? Michael Pickett said, "Man, go ahead and give me this trophy now." Yeah. He's going to get that. He might throw for seven touchdowns.
Washington might put 80 on the board.
If I'm Washington's head coach,
you guys all have those guys picked in the playoffs. Remember? Come on, guys.
Okay, well, you know what? It's not like we holding on to it, Gary. We recognize what we see, and we see what Michael Penix is doing, and we see what the USC defense is not doing. If I'm Michael Penix in the offensive coordinator, I said, "Hey, bro, I can win the Heisman this weekend. I should throw for seven touchdowns against that USC defense. Give it to me today." That's what I would be. Me and you would be talking about. So I'm just saying, I just can't see them not keeping him under at least five touchdowns strong. I can't.
The only thing I disagree with the college football playoff, I would put Florida State number two ahead of Georgia. I know that could even change going forward, but I agree with Ohio State being one. But I would put Florida State number two just from the strength of schedule standpoint when you look at what Florida State has done versus what Georgia's done. Now, that being said, more than likely, Georgia's next four out of five opponents are going to be ranked opponents. So, I mean, they're going to have a chance to possibly move all the way up to number one with some wins here coming up.
They will. As a two-time defending champ, they would. And you have to give them that respect. I'm not a Bulldog fan, but they – Ohio State front-loaded their schedule, Georgia back-loaded their schedule. So if they keep running the table and they knock off all these ranked teams, the same argument you gave Ohio State for having the best two wins, you're going to have to give Georgia for having the best three or four wins, right? So
yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we knew Missouri and Ole Miss were going to be this good, too, on Georgia's schedule.
Correct. No, no, yeah, hell no, nobody.
Mm-hmm. Gary? I got nothing. You guys shot me down.
Come on, man, I'm just saying, you can't put your eggs in the USC defense basket against the
Heisman
Trophy.
I am wishing this. This is what I'm hoping for.
But you said it out loud. Like, it's one thing to internally wish it, but when you say it out loud on the podcast, then we're going to say, come on, bro, that's still the USC defense. And I get you, but, yeah, that's like me rooting for Indiana to beat Michigan. I know that's just not going to happen. I'm not even going to say it on the podcast. I know that's not going to happen. The USC defense is who they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're who they are. And we just got to, you know, when people tell you who they are, believe them. The USC defense has told us who they are, so we should believe them. Unless Michael Penix has strep throat and the flu and COVID and still plays, I just don't see how he don't have a big
hit
in the USC defense. No, I'm not wishing that on him. I'm saying he's going to have to be that level of tore up to not have a big day against the USC defense. I don't know what's going on with them. And, again, it's the same kind of thing. The same thing I talk about the LSU defense. Not to the same level, but when you are in those recruiting beds of California and Louisiana for LSU and Texas and the Southeast, you're just not used to watching LSU defense give up that kind of points. They normally always have a stud defensive tackle, a stud defensive end, a middle linebacker, and at least a cornerback. And it's like, you're not moving the ball against them like that. So to see that happen, and then to see what happened, you know, Maliuga and those guys that USC had, you know, it's like Palomalu. Mm-hmm. Like, they had studs, and you watch them just struggle so bad on the defensive side of the ball. You're like, how, man? You are sitting here with all this fertile recruiting talent. It's baffling.
And you know what, obviously I'm going to dwell on LSU here like the way Andre dwells on the Falcons a little bit. But the disappointing thing about this LSU team, this might be LSU's second-best offense in their history behind the Joe Burrow, Chase, and Justin Jefferson offense. That's how good this offense has been for LSU. I mean, Jaden Daniels has been lights out at the quarterback position. As you can see, you look at his numbers, they're even better than Michael Penix. When you look at the total touchdowns, running and passing, his completion percentage, LSU's offensive line has been elite. Their receivers, the running back, Logan Diggs, they have been that elite on the offensive side of the football. That's what's disappointing when you don't, just as you mentioned, you're used to LSU having a solid and elite defense, and they're wasting probably the second-best offense in their history. So I know I'm talking about Jordan Daniels a lot. Hopefully he doesn't disappoint me against Bama on Saturday night. Yeah, this is probably LSU's, you know, you look at it, they're leading the country in almost every offensive category. And so this is, like I said, probably their second-best offense in their history.
That's crazy. That's wild. And I'm done after this. I was just to say that we say that about Jaden and Caleb Williams, and Caleb is getting the yes. Notre Dame punched him in the mouth, and there's no question. But if you had a halfway competent defense, would you have to be Superman all the time? You know what I mean? To pull out the miraculous every week in order for your team to win. And those two quarterbacks are having to do that because their defenses are so bad, and it's just wild to see, especially for LSU. And I'm not an LSU fan like that. And I don't hate them, but I'm not an LSU fan like that. But if you look at the league in terms of defensive line, cornerback, and linebackers they put out, they have been putting out, those dudes are sitting there watching the games on Saturday like, man, this can't be my university. You know, like, it's got to be wild for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done after that. I'm good. It's bedtime. I've been up since like 8:30. I've been home for like an hour. I'm going to bed.
I'm good, too.
I'm gonna talk about the Falcons job because we get very little topics sometimes about that 2 minute Friday expound. It's not like we're talking about the Cowboys all the time, man. So, you know, come on, I'm just saying.
No, it's all good.
You still holding on to that from like 40 minutes ago? Man, you gotta fucking it's been a whole week.
Oh, was that the fourth topic?
Yeah, you went back to 40 minutes ago.
He said I talk about the Falcons a lot, and I was just trying to say that I'm going to talk about the Falcons because, you know.
No, I didn't say you talk about a lot. I said I'm going to get on the LSU soapbox like you on the Falcons soapbox.
That's pretty accurate, too.
for LSU not to have a defense when we normally have a good defense. Now we've got a great offense. We can't stop nobody.
It's just true.
Mm-hmm.
That's, man. No more Greedy Williams, man. It's all good, man. So, hey, man.
Right.
It's all good. What happened?
Patrick Peterson ain't walking through that door.
Oh, man.
Right.
Have a good, dominant, yeah, Marcus man. Spears. Safeties and Honey Badgers. Yeah.
LeRon
Lane. Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to call them all out, though. It's time to go to bed.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your evening. We'll see you same time, same channel next week, gentlemen. Be good.
All right. I'll talk to you later.